Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your mercy to us, Lord, your goodness, O God, that extends to us at this time, Lord, and has never ceased to exist, but at such a time as this, Lord, it is all the brighter shining. And we thank you, Lord, that we're recipients of that grace this evening hour. We just ask you, Lord, to open our eyes and our minds and our hearts, Lord, to receive illumination. Such illumination, Lord, that will be set on fire by you, that will become our very lives, O God. And we're looking to see, Lord, that your word will do at all times. So we just pray, Heavenly Father, that what your word has been set forth to do at this hour shall be done in us, O God, who believe it. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before we get into the message, I have a little note here from your trustees that a couple things are due, and there isn't sufficient funds on hand to take care of them, so we'll have to look to that for next Sunday for sure. The 60 semi-annual insurance, about $170, is up for every 6 months, and then there's the monthly mortgage of $147, making $317. In due bills in the general fund is currently quite low. It's $130 on hand with $187 to go. And the average weekly offering is between 60 and 70, which would mean we'd still be in arrears about $125. So you keep that in mind for this Sunday, so we'll be able to take care of that. Now, we want to go into the presence of the Lord again. And the subtitle, this is number 9, presence subtitle, some of the key words we've already used. And this will be a repeat, but you understand pretty well what I'm doing. The method is to teach by repetition so that you won't have to struggle too hard by sheer dint of listening to the same material given to you, as many times added unto you. You'll be able to understand this subject very, very well. Now, of course, this is not at all unscriptural that you are obligated to be in this position, because it's at the end time. Paul, speaking to the Hebrews, said, "With many things hard to say, or hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, that scripture is for the end time, that it's incumbent upon those who are truly born again to understand the word of God and to be able to handle it. And also there is a thought in there that these people have a maturity, not just the ability now to handle the word at that maturity, but there's a maturity in them who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And of course that goes back to Malachi, the 3rd chapter, where when the hearts of the children are turned back to the Father, they can discern between good and evil. Up until this time, or at this time, that is not known to the people outside the bride. So the word in this hour must be brought to a fulfillment. It's not simply a matter of teaching a doctrine and staying with that doctrine. You've got to go on. Now, you can understand what I'm saying by thinking what Brother Branham said. Justification, sanctification, restoration of gifts, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit coming. So there is definitely a progression that God has set in the church. Again, Brother Branham mentioned, there's a measure of the Word for every age. And again, a measure of the Spirit for every age. And then he said, you can see the Spirit coming up through the church ages until a headship is formed at the end time. All these things allow you to know that it's incumbent upon the people not to rejoice in the charismatic things, which are fine, but they are to come to a place of a definitive knowledge of the Word of God and what it means to them, And this will help them whereby they can handle that word correctly, and they will live that word correctly and be ready for the end time, which of course we're in now, but I speak especially to the end that there's going to be a resurrection. So when we are looking at the scripture, it's not simply something here that you're just learning for the sake of learning it. That's not true. The thought is that it's vital to us, and we're not in the position anymore to guess. It's gone beyond the guessing stage. It's into the stage of a reality. Now, one of the truly great mysteries of the Bible, as we've been saying all along here in these messages, is the parousia. And of course, the word parousia means presence. And as Rotherham or Dr. Vine says, it's a pity they just don't tell you what that word means and then just leave it there in your Bible. So you never need the word coming again. You wouldn't even need the word presence. You just leave the word parousia there and know that it means presence. Now, when one considers the thought of a presence, and this presence is spoken of in the Bible, then immediately one thinks of the presence of God. Now, however, no New Testament believer is inclined to think of this presence as it was enjoyed by Israel. That is a literal accompaniment of the Spirit of God with in the midst of people. But rather, as in Matthew 28 and 20, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Now, you can understand this, because Israel was in one spot. They were led by the presence of God, and they were one nation under God. But the bride today is scattered, and therefore the people are not prone to believe that there will be a personal presence as of God Himself, the Holy Spirit, in the midst of the people. But this presence, as you look at it, just trace it through in Scripture, invariably ends up as referring to the time of the resurrection and the coming of the Lord, and it opens the door as to when this presence is actually with us. Now, just repeating that, I think you caught it, but I repeat it, that when you examine this word presence, you'll find that it fits into a peculiar time slot, which should cause people in the New Testament era to sit up and pay attention. See? Now, we're referring, of course, to the living. This presence doesn't have to do with other than the living, because we would be the ones who would be looking into it. You can't look into something that doesn't belong to you, and you can't look into something to apprehend it as your own if it is not yours. Of course, you could look at it. Now, remember, Brother Branham was going to talk about the trumpets, and he ended up with nothing except the Feast of the Trumpets, because the Lord said, that doesn't belong to you. That goes under the sixth seal. So we could, if we were just interested in looking at the subject, we could look at the subject, but it goes far beyond an interest. It goes to the place of a necessity as we get into studying the subject. Now, the fundamentalists have drawn their lines of thought into a doctrine that states this presence is at the rapture, and all else stems from it at that time. Now, you see, they're shrewd. They know that there's a presence. But they're mistaken into where they place it. And it has become a very casual thing with them. I got a little article today by Dr. Lovett. And he's a very fine independent Baptist scholar out there in California. And he went into 1 John 3 and 2. Now, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and have never yet come into manifestation what we shall be. We know he shall appear, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And he begins to hit very strongly on we shall see him as he is. And that's going to
do something to us on the grounds or the realm of understanding immortality. So he talks about the fact that Jesus was changed in the resurrection. And he tells how that he could come in through a building. And he said, I'm not even going to worry how he gets in through the walls. He said, that's immaterial. In fact, I don't think he really believed he'd go through the walls. He just stood in the midst. And suddenly he was in the midst. He said the same one that could suddenly disappear from the midst of a crowd did the same thing there. So that's not a great thing we're looking at. But he was looking at the body of immortality. And he thought in here is a tremendous thing that we're going to look into in the future. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And we're not going to be a bunch of doctors and scientists and theologians. We're going to be back where we're supposed to be in the first place and beyond it. So I can't buy what he was saying. See, in my estimation, he was missing it entirely because, like all the others, he's putting a presence with the bride scattered throughout the whole world. And then because there is a presence mentioned in that area of the resurrection and the rapture and the literal second coming before the millennium or to set up the millennium, they got to look at it. But they're not prone to look at it in the timing of the living prior to the resurrection, see? Now, we in this message beg to differ with that doctrine of the fundamentalists. We believe the time element is correct in that it is the time span set forth in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and 16. Now, we're well aware of what that says. For if we, it says here, for we send you by the, no, we read here. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God lead forth, bring forth with him. For this we send you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep or take precedence over them. We'll explain that some Sunday morning more carefully. But that which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And of course you know that they put the descent up in the clouds, which would be what? Maybe 1,500 feet up to 3,000 feet maybe. The clouds aren't very high above us, as you can prove by going up into some mountains that aren't very high. And clouds don't mean hardly anything. In fact, a fog is a cloud down here on earth. And Lovett did understand the fact that in this kingdom, there's neither up nor down. He almost said what the prophet said. It was a dimension, but he couldn't quite get it because he wasn't a prophet, of course. Now, they believe, of course, that he comes only so far down and then remains there, but we do not believe that. We believe that he comes all the way down to earth, and when he does, he is amongst the living, and he performs a resurrection, then continues to the rapture, and after the rapture, continues in a series of well-defined events that will take us to Mount Zion and then to the aeons of the aeons. So, we're looking at something here where we disagree with the fundamentalists that Brother Branham said they are missing the appearing entirely. Now, he was using their own language because they believe the appearing is the rapture. And at that time, we will appear with him in that sense that we are going to be manifestly changing our being the same as he was. Now, we're going to go back to Matthew 24 and 3, where we usually start, and talk about this presence to confirm to ourselves that it is here on earth at the time of the living and amongst the living. The third verse down there is just about the very bottom of the third verse. And what shall be the sign of thy presence, thy parousia? Then he says, and Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. For there shall come in my name, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation must rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pests and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Now, if the presence actually came down in 1933, you better believe this has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled right now, because World War Number 2 broke out in 1939. And it's only since that time that world events have come into preeminence as concerning the whole world. Before then, you could have a nation go buster. You could have a nation devoured up. You could have a nation dying of plagues and, my heavens, you name it. And it didn't raise an eyebrow. But you can't even get a third world nation today that goes literally berserk and not tilt the whole world on its axis. You're in an absolute different position since June 11, 1933, when the presence first came upon earth. In verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Now, how in the world are you going to have anything false until there's first of all an original? Now, he's talking about false prophets. Well, then you could just say, well, hey, here's the point. Anybody that doesn't believe this word's a false prophet. Okay, let's call on the Seventh-day Adventists. I wouldn't believe them on a ton of Bibles a mile high. And if they kissed my foot day and night and gave me $50 billion. And they keep saying, when I'd gotten the word, when I'd gotten the word, when I'd gotten the word. And you let them into your home. And they'll talk all night long. And the minute you say, hey, let me open the Bible now, drop dead, they rush out of your house. You talk about a bunch of scrupled up birds. They're cult. Spawned by the enemy. How's a Baptist going to do it? Is a Presbyterian going to do it? Are we going to do it? No, we're not going to do it. It's going to take a prophet. And if we haven't got the right prophet, we're in a mess. And I put that in a purpose tonight to let you know that we of ourselves don't know we could misinterpret the prophet. But there's got to be a genuine. You see? How in the world are you going to have anything false without a genuine? Why, if you have a, if these don't have a genuine ahead of them, then these are the genuine. See what they, it just doesn't add up. 23 to 27. Then if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe him not. For there shall arise false Christ. And on what grounds? The presence. Then if any man shall say, they're going to, lo, here, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Now that tells you there's got to be a super duper prophet come on the scene. Somebody with tremendous signs and wonders that can be duplicated.
Yeah.
And remember, a prophet is a man that calls people back to God, and a false prophet is a man with a sign to take people away from God.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some kind of an indication and a vindication, or forget it. How would God possibly judge this world if everything was up for grabs? No way. I was just thinking today about judges, how they act. Here's a couple of the kids that, I don't think these, this man and woman even peddled drugs. But they were caught using drugs. And so the judge called them up and they said, well, to themselves, look, if he's going to throw us in jail, we both got some cyanide, we'll take it. And so the judge said, well, he said, I got to give you a year, and I got to give the woman a year. And I don't think they even peddled the stuff, they were just using it. What happened? The young man took cyanide and dropped over dead, and his wife patted his head a little bit, and she took some and she dropped over dead. Yet you can take a murdering rapist, and the judge will say, well, ain't that too bad, turn him loose. My God in heaven, there's got to be righteousness somewhere, there's got to be a judge.
Yeah, amen.
You tell me there's not a prophet of the end time of some criterion, I tell you, go on home and seek God tonight and get born again.
Yeah, amen.
Something wrong with you. Out there in the world, there's got to be some criterion. There's got to be somebody. Who's he going to judge by? Brother Branham said the word. Well, what do you find he's going to judge by? The Baptist, judge by the Catholics, judge by this, judge by that. Going to show great signs and wonders. Insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And that tells you not just the elect, but the very elect are the only ones that aren't going to be deceived. Foolish virgin, the whole bunch of them. How many of you got fooled in the days of Noah? Well, if there's 3 billion people, you can take it from me. There were 3,999,999,992 people.
Amen.
That's how many got food. That's how many died. Behold, I told you before, over in Matthew 7. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, going out forth in the secret chamber, don't believe her. Why? Because it's already been manifested.
Amen.
Don't have to run around and go back to the source. Go back and look and say, was there anybody vindicated? Was there anybody had a big enough ministry to set the whole world on its ear? And then you'll say, well, really nobody, because after all, nobody's got what they had back in the days, the apostles or Jesus, you bunch of lying hounds from hell.
Amen.
Let me tell you, flat concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord Simeon picked him up. Brother Branham said, all there was a God, so to speak, manifest, who held that little baby, held him. And he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Everybody, as far as God saw, saw it right there. And William Branham's ministry was many, many times more heralded around this world than Jesus was.
Amen.
They'll take a historical thing, though God knows it's true. They'll turn down the same Holy Spirit in this hour, see? Now, 23:27. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. And you know as well as I do that every religion has come out of the east. Boy, I say, Brother Bear, what about Christian Science? As one fellow said, that's Eastern baloney, sliced Western style, that's all. Stupid bunch of gurus, and then the same stuff is right over here. Nothing to it, it all came out of the east. And as that same one identical, that moved from the east to the west, so it is there would rise in the west the identical to what was in the east. Now the prophet hit that 100%. Now this is a period of time we're talking about. How long? Who knows? But we go to Matthew 24:37-39, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be, for as the days they were before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, till the day of Noah and the ark, and you not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Now, before we go further, let us never forget the parousia, or presence of Matthew 24:3, is the identical parousia of Matthew 24:27 and 24:39. It's the same one. And you notice, that refers to a period of time back there when certain events are going on, because there has to be the authentic appear on the scene, and there's got to be a time for the false ones to appear on the scene. There's got to be a time for people to be fooled. Don't tell me 2 Thessalonians just bang, bang. 2 Thessalonians is a period of time. The gospel doesn't grow up that fast. This gospel of the kingdom goes to the entire world, my brother and my sister, which is being preached in this hour, and don't think it hasn't. You bet your life has already gone. And Brother Brown said himself, he almost went around the world 7 times. All right, it's a period of time. How long? Who knows? Notice again, in James, the 5th chapter, and never forget this one, because this is part of the parousia. This is part of the actual subject. And who do you ever hear talk about this that talks about the great appearing that's in the rapture? Now, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The long patience written till he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The presence is drawing nigh. Now listen, an actual coming is drawing nigh, where he's going to come back in clouds of glory on earth here. Now, whoever talks about that, when they talk about the parousia being the rapture. But it says right here, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He's got long patience for it. And he's talking to the people at that particular time. How long is it going to be? Who knows? This is the same event. Now watch. This is the same event as foretold over here in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, where we read already. For this we, now, verse 13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sore not, even as others which have no hope, for if we believe. Now, there's going to be a group of people standing there that's believers, and they're going to believe a certain thing. They're going to believe that Jesus died and rose again, not based upon a historical fact, but they're going to build it upon the fact of, as Brother Branham categorically said, a time after time, if he's the same yesterday and today and forever, and he has risen from the dead, he will do the same things here today that he did when he was upon earth. And he did it.
Yes.
Now, if you believe in that one, and remember, he comes to manifest himself and thoroughly show himself, which we'll show you a little later on. If we believe that, we're going to be standing there. And we're going to believe then that God is going to bring forth then the sleeping Jesus, going to lead him forth. Notice, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not have an advantage or take a preeminence over them which are asleep. Now listen, there's got to be something going on there that could tick those people off to believing there's something important about them. So why is he warning them? Now that word prevent actually doesn't mean simply to go before as though you're preceding somebody. It means to take a place of preeminence. And Brother Branham cleared that up. The Apostle Paul said, he said, it makes no difference whether you're standing here or whether you've gone to the ground. Same thing that Paul said. I don't believe Brother Branham even knew he was saying that. In fact, I'm 100% sure he didn't. He just, where the Lord came to prophet. Now, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's going to come down and do something special for the living. Now, it tells you that. The next thing it tells you that he mingles with the, first of all, he mingles with the living. Then you know jolly well the dead got to rise, so therefore he's going to bring the dead forth and we're going to mingle. Amen. Then he's going to take us all up. That puts it right here. Where is that presence anyway? Right down here. And that presence has got to be something that will absolutely make a bride obnoxious unless she watches what she's doing. And you've never seen a cruddier, more obnoxious bunch of people that claim to believe this message. Now, I may feel I got to apologize for that, but the time being, I ain't impressed too hard of God.
Amen.
I knew the prophet. Well, I hear the message. People can tell lies in the pulpit or out of the pulpit and think it's okay, and people listen to it.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Let's get this flat. Man tells lies, doesn't know this word. He's not in the Word of God. First thing man does, tell lies. Right off the word, the first thing you do is tell lies. And you don't believe it. I'll sit here and tell you next 20 years. You don't believe it. You're too nice for me. Almost every person in the building is just too nice for me. I don't know what your background is, but you're just too nice. You don't believe nothing. I hate to hit you like this, but that's God's truth. You wake up, you're going to find out before it's over. Old E. Bell knew what he's talking about. He ain't a fool. And down the road, they get into sexual sins. I can name your names right today. He said, what about Julie? If I'm false, I'll tell lies and I'll do the same thing. Near her now, get rid. I'm going to stand before God at least having something. If I got to go through the white throne judgment, I'm going to be pretty careful how I get there. This bride doesn't have anything great about her. The great one is he who is here to receive preeminence. And I want to ask you a question. Is he getting it? I want to ask you a question. Can you give him preeminence outside of the subject I'm teaching here tonight? Be honest with me. Can you give him preeminence if you don't even know he's here? If you don't even know what he's doing here?
Right. Amen.
But it seems a lot of other things mean too much importance alongside of this. How long is this going to be? I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. It stands to reason that his stay with the living will be many times longer than it takes him to raise the dead. Because they've got the guarantee. We don't have a guarantee. Because the scripture said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Then God sweeps right in and said, death, stand still. I'm going to swallow you up like a man with a net holds a wild dog, the wild animals in bay, while the saints go marching in. Well, that's the Bible. Then how important is it to know that he is here? How important to exalt his great name and to live blameless and holy before him?
Amen.
People don't think it's necessary. Let me tell you, we're not getting away with anything. The greater condemnation lies in the fact that he is here. Don't worry. Or why do you think everybody, the little bride, is going to go down to destruction? And the great tribulation in which Brother Branham said, cut my stomach open and pour in sulfuric acid, but don't let me be in the great tribulation.
Yeah.
A little different, isn't it? Well, I'm not a doomsday prophet. I'm just sort of a doomsday teacher.
Because it's coming. Don't think it's not.
Same event. How long in 1 Thessalonians? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't look for 120 years of it.
Yeah.
See, Noah's day could have that because they never had the monumental events that we've had. No way. No way.
We've had it. We can have our days cut back. It says 1933. 48 years have gone by. It says 1963. 18 years are coming up. 1965, the prophet says 16 years are coming up. How many years? Don't ask me. You say, what if it goes to the year 2000? I got nothing to say. Absolutely possible. And I wouldn't be surprised. Lull people further and further away. For when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? Well, which way are you going to look at the Son of Man coming? Going to look in the Persia? Well, I don't know about that. There's all kinds of faith if you want charismatic and things. But if you want faith in the Word, reveal faith. No way. Not even with the Persia. Except minimally, because only very few hear it. How long? I don't know. I got no way of knowing. I've given up caring. I'll tell you frankly, I've got to the place where I'm a little worried about myself. That I might be here sick in body over a period of years just going downhill, wasting away. And I said, my God, I hate that. I just soon get hit by a train or something. I've got a great fear of just deteriorating. Too many signs of that already. Yeah, anything can happen, but it could be a long time now. Matthew 24 and 3, what's the sign of thy bruise? 37, 39, as it were in the day, so on. This is not the rapture, for the rapture is Matthew 24, 40 to 43. Now, the reason I said that's not the rapture, because people point to it and say, well, hey, that is the rapture. That's what conditions are like. No. Then shall two be in the field. One taken, one left. Then shall two be grinding the mill, one taken, one left. Watch you therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. That's your coming right there. See, they missed the appearing entirely. This is your coming. Coming for the bride, which is not the appearing. Coming for her. That's Jesus the man. Then coming back with her in 3.5 years. Which they think is 7 even. But it's not. You can't find 1 7 in the book of Revelation. You find 3.5. 360 days. No 7s. No way. 3.5. Then how can you reconcile the Bible? Poor old Daniel had it right, but John, it was really right. His brain got cooked. They tried to boil him in oil, and he got cooked. His brain got cooked, so he got it messed up with 3, 3.5. You think so? No way. No way. People misunderstood Daniel. They couldn't figure the 70 fall of 69. That's how easy it is for God to fool the smart boys. Now, if I said, tell me, Mr. Theologian, what number comes after 69, they'd say 70, except in the Bible. So that's exactly right. Goodbye. Now, how would that be different in the Bible? 70 fall of 69. It was 70 he got cut off. So the 70th week, 1/2 of the 70 week is transpired. What more do you want? Well, you see, now I can't figure out the rest. Who cares whether you can figure it out or not? By the grace of God, you'll be gone. I don't have to figure out how a Rolls Royce runs. I don't own one. What do I care what's going to happen down the road 3.5 years if I'm gone?
Right, amen.
No, it's just foolishness. Now, this is not the rapture, for the rapture is Matthew 24, 40 to 43. But know this, a good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. That is after Matthew 24, 37 and 39. That's after it. Now, the unbeliever will suggest that time is not what is referred to, but conditions in Matthew 24, 37 to 39. And they say this is how the rapture is. No one knows and suddenly it is over. Now that's a strange doctrine. Do you believe the living who are changed won't be aware?
Yeah.
Now what if the good man hadn't been aware what hour is the thief coming? He'd been already. You simply cannot take this and say, hey, that has to do with the condition. See? Do you believe that Matthew 24 and 3, as defined by 4 to 8 and 24 to 26, which is in the presence of the Son of Man, what is the sign of it? And he says false prophets are going to rise. What he tells you over here, beware of false, take heed to no man deceive you. Tells you right there. And he's laying it upon a man. Then if a man can deceive you, there's a man who won't deceive you. So the prophet's a man. He names it. He said, take heed, no man deceives you. Then skips right on down here and tells you prophets are going to deceive you.
Praise the Lord.
So there's got to be a man who won't deceive you. Because they know something the others don't know. Are we going to hold a big conclave now? The Catholics don't even believe the Bible. They don't want the Bible. They said they wrote it and we've changed it since then. So goodbye, Charlie. Well, fine. Thank God they got rid of the Bible. I want it. I'll take it. Now the Methodists come along and the Baptists have a big conclave and you say, now settle this question. Here they're going to be as definitive as old Brother Fuller was. Old Brother Fuller gets up Sunday after Sunday and he's going to tell you who's right. Is the rapture before the tribulation or is the rapture after the tribulation? So old Charlie blunders along and blunders along and every Sunday I frantically tune in only to hear it. When he got finished, nobody knew really. I'd like to find somebody definitive to put their money where their mouth is.
Amen.
Like a friend of mine said to a guy that's really ribbing her one day, and he's the most obnoxious person, one of the most you ever want to run across. And she sort of talked to her husband in a way that this fellow, he tried to show her up, and why he said, you won't go to heaven. Talking like that, she said, you figure you're going to be there? Yeah, he said, I'm going to be there. He said, what about you? Well, she said, if you're where I'm at, I'll know I'm not in heaven. Added to what I'm saying, you get the point. Listen. Matthew 24 here defines, says, take heed that no man deceive you. Many come in my name saying, I am Christ, deceive many. But there's no such thing as lest there is a genuine, and you cannot find a genuine by a conclave. So if the conclave comes out with something, as I said, this woman knew that she was in the wrong place if that guy was there. So you know anything a conclave says has got to be wrong. Because it says many are going to deceive you. Yeah. I don't care if they appoint one man to be the spokesman.
Yeah.
There's got to be somebody stand out here like a sore thumb and stand all alone. Or the whole Bible blows up. When did Elijah call a secret meeting in the conclave? So now, Ahab, you want to know some answers? I'll give you some answers. Hey, fella, come over here, and you Balaamites over here, and you over here, let's all come in, and we'll just, you tell me what to say. I'll tell you what he said. I said, you set your altars up. Go on. He let them call all day long and cut themselves and beat themselves and scream to God, Baal, and nothing happened. He said, all right. He said, get me the bullocks. He killed the bullocks. He threw up the unbroken rocks and set them up there in an altar. He said, pour on. He said, 12 barrels or whatever it was of water. Pour it on. Now he said, let the God answer by fire. He said, and you know what? They couldn't get any answer by fire. Even if they'd ever called down fire before, that's the day God would have stopped the fire. Don't worry. Fire fails just like that. How many people was he looking for? One people, God.
Yeah.
Come on, man, as simple as ABC.
Yeah.
They just don't want to read their Bible the way it's written. They want to believe he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same yesterday, and today, and forever.
Yeah.
And if Elijah's supposed to come, it's going to be a showdown.
Yeah.
No way out. All right, the fact of the matter is, Matthew, now see, these verses that I read here are not symptomatic of spiritual conditions. Although the spiritual conditions are there, it is telling you something. The fact of the matter is Matthew 24, 37 to 39 precedes Matthew 24 and 44. Exactly. As we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. So let's go and look at it. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Now,
That's the conditions over a prolonged period of time that's going to end in the people being called away from this earth into a rapture. Now that's what it says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and is going to do something to the people there that's going to throw the people off tater. See? Now let's understand what we're talking about. There's too many of us. We look at this message and say, I'm a part of it. And there's no way other than just say, well, sure, I believe it, that's it. But Brother Branham said, the revival in the bride has not yet taken place. And there will be a revival in that bride based upon the word that the prophet taught. That is the word of this hour in this Bible here. And when God energizes that word, that's going to take a people right off the face of the earth. See? Now, you understand what I'm saying? The world looks around, passes the whole thing over, and a lot of people claim themselves to be bride, and they miss the point. They get kind of a puffed up about it.
Yeah, amen.
A smarting off way about it. Like Brother Branham hit him that time so hard. Woman doing her laundry on Sunday. We were a little bit slack on a lot of things. And she said, well, I'm not some legalist. He said, that's not legalism at all, he said. He said, this is the day that we're honoring Almighty God, the resurrection. You're not enough seriousness. Not enough sobriety. I'm going to tell you the honest truth. For a long time, I wasn't one of those just waiting for the church door to open. I don't know if I'm going to pin yours back or not. How many of you just can't wait for the church door to open? Don't raise your hands. That's between you and God. Or any excuse to do to stay home. Now, being on the road's a whole lot different just being around here. I've got to have my time off, too, although I like being in church. But I'll tell you, something's happened. When I begin looking at this subject, something happens. I want to be there. I wanted to be there, but not like I want to be today. Now, I don't know how you're feeling. I hope you're feeling that way. If you're not, I think you ought to pray about it. The bride, the true bride, is different. But she ain't got some puffed up, borrowed idea. She hasn't got some big preeminence. You know why? Because he has the preeminence. How in the world is a bride going to be preeminent when he's supposed to be preeminent? That's good for organization. See? Now notice, this presence that we see for a prolonged period on earth is known as the presence of the Son of Man. Luke 17 categorically shows in verses 20 to 30 that sometime after the days of the Son of Man on earth in flesh, he literally performs the same ministry he performed while in his flesh, but this time he is not here physically. All right, you understand what I'm saying? This chapter here absolutely tells us there is a time coming when the same ministry appears on earth, but he won't be there in flesh. And I told you, Daddy Bosworth, in December of 53, pulled my coattail, and he said, Brother Vail, for 40 years, I prayed for the ministry of Jesus Christ to return to this earth, and there it is in that man. What made that man say that? The same thing Simeon said. Now, Lord, I beheld your salvation. I knew it was coming. There is a time coming when the same ministry appears on earth, but he won't be there in flesh. And I told you, Daddy Bosworth, in December of 53, pulled my coattail, and he said, Brother Vail, for 40 years, I prayed for the ministry of Jesus Christ to return to this earth, and there it is in that man. What made that man say that? The same thing Simeon said. Now, Lord, I beheld your salvation. I knew it was coming. I can go in peace. And Daddy Bosworth went in peace. How did he know? I'm going to tell you something. Daddy Bosworth didn't know like we know. Amen. Just something stirring in his heart. Something that he read, something quickened. He knew the ministry had to come back and he prayed for it. But he didn't know what we know, no way. Why should he? Oh, you see, I think he would. Well, you don't even think the scripture right for this reason. The prophets prophesied concerning the time of the grace of God that should come. But they themselves looked into it, couldn't understand it. And nobody could understand till the hour of the grace came. As the Apostle Paul said, sure, he said, we knew the Gentiles were to come in through Abraham. But he said, not as we know in this hour and this day. This generation.
Amen.
See? 20 to 30. Luke 17. And when he demanded the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He said, it'll be here and you won't even see it.
Yeah.
What about your presence. It'll be hearing you all sheep. I'm going to tell you something. There'll be a lot of phonies out there.
Right. Come on, how many people believed in Jesus? Hardly anybody.
Amen.
The majority turned him down flat. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. He said, disciples, the days will come, and you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you'll not see it, period. And they'll say to you, see here, or see there, going on after him, or follow him. Now listen, for as lightning light is out of one part of heaven, shines on the part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. And his day was already theirs. It's the future day. It's another day. But he must first suffer many things. I told you another day. He's going to have another day, but he's got to suffer first. And be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the days of the Son of Man. The grand king, Mary, wise, given in marriage, the name of the Lord, in the ark, and fled, came to destroy them all. That's a period of time. The days of Lot, the eighth, they drank, they built, they planted, they builded. The same day Lot went out of Sodom, rain, fire, and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now it's your time of revelation. He's not only going to be there, he will be revealed. Now what's he talking about? The days, you'll desire to see the days. The ministry returns, and in the ministry you will see him revealed. Hearing amongst us with mighty signs and wonders. Well, listen, you know jolly well that's the Word of God over here in the book of John, the 14th chapter, and in verse 12 it is, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father.
Right.
Yep. All right. He says you will not see him doing it as you now see him, but he will be here doing it. Of course, that will be in his spirit. As I read in John 14:12. Now that the presence is here in the, now that the presence is here in the resurrection is clearly seen in both 1 Corinthians 15:23 and in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-15. Now we've read that in 1 Corinthians 15:23 many times. There shouldn't be one person here who's heard me preach any more than four of these sermons, but know absolutely where that is and what it says. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his presence. At his presence. He's talking about the resurrection. Now I ask you a question. Are we part of the first fruits who stand here, aren't we? Yes, we are part of the first fruits. Where do we get our change? Here. Where did it get their change? Here. And where is he? He's here. I want to ask you a question. Who raises the dead? Jesus the man or God the Jesus? Jesus the God. Because God raised Jesus and God's going to bring him forth. Don't understand where people's thinking is. Of course, I don't know where mine is either except the prophet came back. So praise the Lord. I'll put the glory where it belongs. I didn't find this out by myself. Let's face it. Neither did Brother Branham. Why, Brother Branham said about this whole thing. He said, listen here. He said, now I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself seeing I was packing this message. I have no more to do than nothing, no more than just a voice. You show me a prophet that had any more to do with it than just giving his mouth over. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-15, I read it for you many times already. That presence is also known for a fact. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, let's go and take a look at it. Now, let's watch how this presence works out. I'll just go right there to verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so the most receiving Jesus will God bring with him. For this we stand to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain in the presence of the Lord shall not take a preeminence, some special place above those that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from him to the shelf. How could a man take preeminence when he's there? With the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now watch. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now it says, therefore the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The coming of the Lord. Verse 15, the presence of the Lord. He's going to descend with a shout. Then it says we're going to be caught and meet the Lord in the air. And of course they want to tell us that he only descends so far and stays there. That's not true. He comes right down here to earth to raise the dead. Now who does it? Jesus, Holy Spirit does it. Then we're caught up to Jesus man. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down my right hand. See? All right. That presence of the Holy Spirit incarnated will be with the bride in a return to earth, as is seen in Revelation 19:11 and 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Now that same Spirit that raises the dead and catches us up to the marriage supper, the wedding supper, is going to be incarnated in Jesus the man, and is going to come back with the bride in Revelation 19:6. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon it called faithful and true, and in righteousness he did judge and make war. And then the armies which followed him in heaven were upon white horses. Verse 14, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. That's the bride. Alright, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. The second chapter, the 8th verse, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence. He's going to be right there at that time when he comes back from in Revelation 19:11 and goes into Revelation chapter 20, the binding of the serpent, the whole bit, and he is going to destroy them. And he will be there in his physical flesh. Incarnated. All right. Our major concern is with the presence of the moment. As I said, the presence of the moment, he is here now. Okay. We go again to the verse we're using every Sunday morning. In Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Then it tells you at what hour? The hour of the resurrection. Now, however long that lasts, Ephesians 1:17, we don't know. But it will last long enough to give the bride the revelation that God wants to give her and close off redemption to all, both bride and foolish virgin. Sure will. Revelation 10:1-7. That's what he's talking about. And I saw a mighty messenger, angel, come down out of heaven, go to the cloud, rainbow upon his head, his face were the sun, feet as pillars of fire. And right on down to verse 7, and notice in 6 and 7, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and things that therein are, and the earth and things that therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer, or time should be no longer delayed. In other words, at this time, when things go into action, they're going to strike a clockwork and just bang, 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 bang. As Brother Branham said, counting down. No way you're going to stop it, see? Because once that presence is here and that bride is ready, made perfect, polished off, finished, so the dead can come out of the ground, from that moment on, it's just trip hammer, trip hammer, trip hammer. Where God has taken over completely. And he's taking over completely right now, don't worry. Yes, sir, I can see more and more of that coming up. Now, but in the days of the voice, the seventh church age messenger, and he'll begin to sound, the mystery of God should be perfectly concluded, as he had declared the good news of his gospel by his servants, the prophets. Now, Revelation 22. Now you can see how these all come together. Then he said unto me in verse 9, see thou do not, for I am the fellow servant of the brethren, the prophets, and them that keep their sayings, this book worship God. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophets, this book, for the time is at hand. You're all supposed to worship God anyway. The only way you can worship God is come to Jesus Christ. He that is unjust is unjust till he's guilty, lend to filthy, till he's righteous till he that is holy is holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with him to give a man according to his works to be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. No, sir. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, enter the city, enter through the gates into the city. And right on down, verse 16, I, Jesus, sent my messenger to testify unto you these things in the church, that I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and spirit and the bride say, come. Then the hearers say, come. He is the thirst, come. Whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add him the plagues. That's the only time this could happen, is the end time. And how do you know if you're adding to the book unless somebody tells you where to stop? Amen. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the guy? Catholics added purgatory hundreds of years ago. Lutherans have added confessional. Anglican Church added confessional. Every fundamentalist added their own doctrine of the Perusia, which is wrong. Hey, if any man should take away the words of this book of prophecy, God will take away his part of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from things that are written in this book, so on. All right. He will take care of James 5:7-9. The former and the latter reign.
According to Revelation 10 and 6, it is the presence that turns the tide of time into the oceans of eternity. Time runs out into the infinite. Time doesn't run out till after the white throne. But what he's doing, it tells you time isn't delayed. We've swung into a new channel with the presence of the Holy Spirit here. In a way he hasn't been here before, something is going on which has never happened before, which is a group of people are going to be immortalized and taken away.
Right.
Now that's going to take some doing.
Yeah.
I know everybody's got an idea in the fundamental word, oh hey, that's just part and parcel. That's not so. All right, concerning the presence, we received a most valuable key from Luke 17. From Luke 17, 26 to 30, we learn the Son of Man is to be revealed. This will be the same period of time. And this is exactly Ephesians 1, 17. The word revealed means to be brought into the open. That's the apocalypse. He'll be revealed. All right. That's exactly what it says over here in Ephesians, where it is definitive. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Remember what that knowledge does to you. It has a tremendous effect upon the knower, the known, or the object of the knower has a tremendous effect upon the knower. And this has to do with the end time. In other words, He is going to do something for those that are aware of Him. Okay? So we have the guarantee of the presence revealing Himself over a period of time. Now watch carefully and see this. Revelation means unveiling. Something hidden or so obscured, something must be done about it, or it would be missed entirely or end up in confusion. If something isn't done, it'll be missed or it'll be misinterpreted. Now certainly, didn't we see that over here in the book of Matthew? 24, where he says here, what is going to be the sign of thy presence amongst us? And then in 23 to 24, it says, if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Now you know as well as I do that many people are going to be deceived. It says they're going to deceive the many. Whole bunch are going to be deceived and carried away.
Yeah.
So something is going on that is so obscure that it's going to be fantastic if you get it. Luke 17 and 30. Even thus it'll be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That talks about the ark. That talks about Sodom. How many were in the ark? How many were in Sodom? 8 were in the ark. And what? 3 got out of Sodom. The 4th one dropped off. Again, we see Ephesians 1, 17 perfectly. It has to do with the period of time. It has to do with the revelation. But how is it done? Very simply. Let's look at Scripture. Not hard at all to figure it. Now that we know what we're into, Revelation 1, 1 to 3, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which are shortly come to pass, and he sent and sanctified it by the angel, signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God, of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and hear they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. See, they got to keep the things there too. Now, let's go back to Revelation 10. Even though we read it many times. Nice verse, 4 verses. I saw the main messenger come down from him and go with the cloud, a rainbow upon his head. His feet as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and left upon the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried, 7 thunders over the voices. When the 7 thunders had heard the voice, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered and write them not. All right. Now we go back to Revelation 1, 12 to 16. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Amidst the 7 golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. Go to the garment down at the foot and girdle about the past the golden girdle. His head and his hair white like wool, his white as snow, and his eyes flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, if they burn the furnace, his voice the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun that shineth in strength. And that's the Son of Man. Okay? Now, verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and last. Now notice, this one still is dealing with somebody, and that somebody's got to be a prophet. So he's dealing with the prophet. Now,
in Revelation 10:1-4, which we read. In seven you see a prophet in the days of the voice of seven messenger. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. A prophet is there, receiving the word of God. See? Now, of course, people say, well, you're just saying that and you're drawing a conclusion. Well, then the Bible drew a conclusion. Call him a prophet. He's got to be numbered with the prophets. Because the prophet is there. God never dealt anyway but with the prophet. Go to Amos, you'll find that out. Now we see more about this great time in which we live. The Holy Spirit has come into the church to reveal himself to the bride and bring about a resurrection and a rapture and future events as he laid them all out there. He does it by his coming to the prophet, who reveals him even as God revealed himself to the prophet, according to Deuteronomy 18:15, because it categorically says that you cannot deal with God privately. There is no group. And the bride is a group. See, the bride didn't want to be recognized as a group. I'm the hand, bless God. I'm the foot, bless God. I'm the eye, bless God. I'm the wiggy-waggy tongue, bless God. I can't make more noise than all of you. Hallelujah. And I'm the great ham actor, the orator, the declaimer, and the emoter, and, promoter, too. And, oh, I'm this, and I'm that. And Paul says, nuts, you're a body.
Amen.
And how does God deal with a group? By prophet. No way. See, you can't get around it. All right. Now then, we're learning something here. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit on earth. Or simply God come down in the midst of the bride is revealing himself. So both the parousia and apocalypsis are here at the same time and shall continue through all events pertaining to them. Now you see, we start one jump ahead. And we've got way more Bible for us than they have. Because we're dealing with the living and the dead are here when they're raised, and the living are here. So nobody's going to tell me it's up there. It's down here. See, they missed it. They misplaced it entirely. Now, what starts here is going to continue and continue and continue by a series of events relating to the present. So shall we ever be with the Lord. See, once you're in the wedding supper. Now, there is another description given us by a word, and that is appeared. Now remember we said, the presence and the apocalypse is one and the same thing. They happen at the same time. The next word we look at is the word appeared. And that, you will see just what it is, very simple. That this word is part of our study cannot be denied, for if something is revealed, it must appear or surface. It is no longer hidden. Though indeed it may be revealed to only a few, and unrevealed or hidden to the masses. Somebody will still see it. Now this word appear that we are using is actually defined as manifest. Now remember that. And remember the notes I've given you previously. Maybe sometime I'll just take and lay them all here in a piece of paper and mimeograph them for you. Now this word appear should be translated manifest. Because it does not simply mean to appear, but actually to disclose itself in its true character, for one might certainly appear and in no way disclose his true identity, as it says, beware of wolves in sheep clothing. They've got everything that makes them look like sheep. But they've got a purpose, that's to destroy the people of God. Oh, brother, sister, I don't know. I would to God I didn't have such a wicked mind. I'll tell you flat. I would to God I was dead today. I can see scripture and things flash before me. I see out there where men are deceitful, come along amongst the people, pull anything under high heaven. People just stand back and gullible. Say, well, brother, they were sweet. So was Eve. She was too sweet. She should have said, get out of here, you louse.
Oh, you don't mean it. You handsome, wonderful bird.
Brought forth a bunch of buzzards. The word is manifest because it does not simply mean to appear, but actually to disclose itself in its true character. For one might certainly appear and in no way disclose his true identity. How do you think the Antichrist gets over? Phanerou is the word. Manifests the truth of the thing identified. Exactly what is it? So,
We notice 1 John 3 and 2. Let's take a look at it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it never yet appeared, never yet been brought into manifestation. Never a true identity, truly identified, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall be truly identified, we shall see him, for we shall see him as he is. You know something? You believe that that's the time we're in the rapture, that we're going to have a definitive revelation of him? Well, he's going to be in flesh at that time. And Paul says the true definitive revelation comes by the Spirit to the living. I would say anybody that puts this in the rapture is a little bit too late. No way. Now, this is what it says. Phanero. It has not yet been truly manifested. It has not come into existence. See? Something that's to come, and it will identify itself 100% as to what it is. That's a parousia, as well as that which changes to come. Tells you how we're going to get the change. We're going to see him as he is, and he's true identification. Now, the same word is in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall be truly manifested, as he is shown who he is, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I'll tell you, William Branham was right. You got to understand what he's saying here, that the major revelation of the end time is there is one God, and his name is Lord Jesus Christ, and you're baptized in his name. See? Now, revealed as to his true character. Over here in 1 Corinthians, you see the same thing again. Verse 9, we know in part and prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is coming, that which in part should be done away. When I was a child, spake a child, understood as a child, thought a child. Came man and put away childish thing. Now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as I am known. The revelation of himself and his true identity to the bride. And at that time, of course, as we said last Sunday, he'll be husband. And she'll know her true identity, which will be wife. Revealed in the true identity. Revealed to her true church. But when does this take place? It takes place in Revelation 10:1-7. Now, we don't suggest that this is all there is to the manifestation at this presence, at this time. This is an unfolding. But this event, which transpires in our age on earth, merely triggers all the rest. It'll be a future unfolding. Right here we can bring in a point about the manifestation being a part of the revelation, because 1 Corinthians 1 and 7. Now that's your fault. He says here, he told that you come behind in no gift waiting for the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end. In other words, there's something beyond this. There's got to be something beyond the apocalypse. And at the time of the apocalypse, he confirms you blameless. That word means to establish, to make firm, to secure, unto the end. Now notice, unto the end. Now, unto the end comes from the Greek word telos. Like, you know, you get that word telephone and all, long way out there, long. Now listen, here's what it means. The limit at which a person or thing ceases to be what he or it was up to that point. I'll ask you, when do you cease to be the person you were? When your body's changed, that'll be the big one. Then the appearing is at the time you get your change. You get your change down here, or you don't make it up there. Amen. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Or at which previous activities ceased. Well, I'll tell you, our whoring around has ceased. Our adulteries and our fornication with creeds and dogmas and our putting up with everything under high heaven has ceased. See? When is it? At the appearing. Now, at that time, he confirms it.
Something's run out. But it runs out when the prophet's here. It runs out when that mighty one comes down. In other words, it's the end. So time has run out for the bride. She's not going to be here physically if she knows her physicality and her physical structure at this point. It's going to be different. It's all over for her. Now at that time of the appearing, the apocalypse, the presence, the funeral, see, we will be confirmed that we may be blameless. And we will be blameless. See? No two ways about it. That's when he's righteous is righteous still. Filthy is filthy still. The whole thing's in there to our, brought to our attention at that time. So then, when the time comes, when we're face to face with him in immortality, how in the world can anyone be judged? The only thing you're going to have there is your Brother Branham saw the beam of the presentation. Brother Branham saw a presentation. He didn't see what people talk about. Misunderstanding what Paul said. Brother Branham categorically said, how can you make a man a sinner in the blood of Jesus Christ, scatter sin, there be nothing left of it? Now, see how this goes with Ephesians 1. This disappearing, this spirit coming into the church. And he's talking to those full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 13 of chapter 1, whom also you hope, not trusted, but hope. After you heard the gospel of truth, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you received with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption, the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, at that particular time, now watch what we're talking about. Whatever is at the time and to take place at that presence and that apocalypse and that phanerus, it's extended. Then this is extended. No more people receive the Holy Ghost. There's no need for it. It's all over. And this runs out. Because now God comes on the scene to bring the dead up and change the living in the way they go in a rapture. That's what Brother Branham said. When God takes that spirit out of the world, the bride's still going to be here, and she will be preaching to the totally lost. Why? Because nobody but nobody will be born again. Yeah. The spirit's gone. Nobody will be sealed in anymore. See, it's a change. And I'm trying to tell you the change starts here, not up there. That's why the prophet said the appearing is not what they think it is. They're mixed up on it. And I say, amen. Sure, I say amen. Now, we can view another word as epiphania. There is no doubt that refers in one place to the advent of Revelation 19:11. That's a great burst of glory, and I'll no doubt refers to it. Him coming in glory, no doubt about it. I have no reason to believe otherwise. But I also believe that it's over here in 1 Timothy 6 and 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? That is the Epiphania, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who has immortality, dwelling light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, and to whom be honor and power everlasting. Now, you could put that in the rapture if you wanted to. But I don't see it that way. To me, this is the same thing that we have over there where Paul is saying, you come behind a no gift waiting for the apocalypse. You're waiting for the epiphania, the shining forth, the evident manifestation in brightness. And at that time, he which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. In other words, he identifies himself. You mean to tell me we got to wait for the rapture to see him identified? I don't believe that for 1 minute. Yeah. Amen. Why, if I'm going to be living here in chains, I don't even need to see him. I don't even need to see him. Because I've been identified with him already by being changed to immortality. I mean, they got this thing so backward it's pitiful. See? And that's in my understanding. They can do what they want. I'm trying to follow a prophet. See? Now, it surely applies also to the revealed presence of the Son of Man. For it is at the time of the manifestation of who He really is, the great God and Savior, that He shines forth in revelation to us. And notice, that presence triggers a series of events. And it's not that you can't have more epiphania. By all means. It isn't that you can't have more apocalypse. By all means. It's not that you can't have more of the phanerou. By all means. And it's not that you won't have the presence, because you will. Let me tell you flat. If you could lose that presence after that, then heaven ain't what I think it is, and who needs the millennium? Because if I've got to have jeopardy over there and jeopardy here, then let's just put one thing. God never changes. He's a God of jeopardy. Then you have to rewrite the whole Bible. You have to rewrite the whole Bible. Just begin changing your life a little around and say, well, we got billions of years to just be in jeopardy. Hogwash. Satan is going to be changed because of circumstance. What changed the circumstance? There'll be nothing in us to be tempted.
Praise the Lord.
Now I tell you, I personally cannot be tempted to flap my arms and fly, because I cannot fly. There's nothing in there. Neither will I be in the resurrection nor you tempted, because there'll be nothing in there to tempt. See? Thus we can see from a brief study of the words that He has certainly appeared amongst us and proven by manifestation who is here. He has clarified the revelation by the Word. He has shined out into darkness and revealed Himself. All this has been done for the bride. The world and foolish virgin caught something, but not the truth, and end up in the tribulation. Now let us understand that this presence in revelation is just the turn of the corner into reality. The living revelation by the living revealer will continue with those in whom is God's light. And all that He is potentially as revealed in this hour will increase and keep increasing with the increase of God. See, we're going back to Logos.
Right.
See, we have just barely grown up unto Him, and that is not yet complete. What will it be when our change comes and we burst forth into what was our true originality? Just consider what is left for us to recover in the millennium that Adam lost. Just consider that.
Yeah.
That's what we've been crying for all these ages. Men commit suicide hoping they'll find it. They do everything trying to find it. They make up everything under high heaven to palliate their own conscience. They'll even deny the sin question. It's some guru junk. Some Eastern baloney. Today the West hasn't got enough brains to even cut the baloney Western style. They just take a lock, stock, and barrel. Trying to get back there, it won't work. You must be born again.
Right.
Now He's made a way to get us back there. And that way is right in our hour. I hope I live to see it. If I don't, it's perfectly all right. Just wasn't meant to be, that's all, if I don't live to see it. Brother Branham wanted to live to see it, but he couldn't see it. Sister Meady passed on, she didn't see it. No big deal, because there's no preeminence in a bride living here. It's going to take God to do it.
Yeah.
See? You and I can do it. But I tell you, if this revelation will put us into the millennium, and that is the beginning of the revelation of Him in redemption. I mean, not that we haven't had it before. I'm talking about that when it begins to swell and the waves begin to break. What will it be when we're in a position categorically to plumb the depths of Him who is God? Fantastic. Never be a time when it will run out. So there you are. That's the presence, brother, sister. Tremendous. It's already started. People don't even know. That's why I keep harping on it. It's already started. People are looking for something to start. Look, it's already started. The bride hasn't had the latter rain thoroughly mixed with the former rain, but it's mixing. People say, don't tell me someone's got the latter rain. I say, I got a measure of it. Don't claim a God at all, but I got a measure. People say they walked in darkness so many years. I say, fine, I believe they're still walking in darkness. No problem, I've been walking in light. And it increases more and more to the perfect day. I got no worry, because the Word tricks the air. I've warned you and told you. I can get a little off here, a little off there, and I'll come right behind and tell you where I went off. and say, this revelation is good and I'll stand with it, but I've got a more definitive revelation that fits the hour more perfectly. Tell you what? Why? There's no problem. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one that's appeared now is consummating, consummating that worker, bringing you through the consummating, the consummation rather, bringing you through the consummation of it, taking us right to the very end. And pretty soon there's going to be a bride here that's going to see the dead come out of the ground. Now she might not see him come out of the ground, but she's going to see him. And I'll tell you, when you see the dead, you better believe that you already made it. You'll be changed to it. The Lord bless you. Let's ride. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that there is no way, Lord, to our understanding, anybody can cheat us out of the reality that Elijah has truly come and has restored, and part of the restoration is going on right now. A bride is being restored away from her infidelities, away from a noxious way of living, her creeds, her dogmas, her vileness from where she has been so wrong, but she's come back to being a virgin of the Word, Lord. Father God, is so wonderful and so amazing that we still say with the prophet, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, I won't stand in their way. We want to stand back and cheer because we heard the voice of the bridegroom, and we know there's a bride there. But by grace tonight, Lord, we cannot believe for one minute that we are not part of it, for you would not have brought us thus far to turn us back. We don't believe for one minute, Lord, that you have brought us to this place of an understanding just to say, well, that's fine, but you're not going to make it. We don't believe that, Lord. We believe that there isn't anybody who receives the revelation but the elect. And we believe tonight we're a part of that, O God, tonight. And we do thank you for it, Lord. By grace we came, every single person in within this building, Lord. Just stand with it. There won't be one person that won't make it, O God. We know that even beyond that, there's fantastic promises where the prophets had claimed the entire household. We know, Lord, there's things there that we just fogs the mind and boggles the mind, Lord. But there's one thing about it. We can listen and we can believe it and say, well, now, if that's what he said, then that's what he said. Yes. And stand on it. And that'll begin to break, Lord. We know that we've got to receive it first before it breaks to us. Lord, if the people had stood back and when John the Baptist screamed and said, no way, no way, it never would have broken. If Simeon would have stood back and said, no way, this is just a baby, no way, it never could have. We never would have made out. But Lord, we're standing here tonight believing. Bless your people, Lord God. We're believers. Bless your people, Lord, for healing in the body. Lord, there's no place we can see in Scripture you ever denied the fact you sent your word to heal them. And the word is here perfect as never before. And Lord, your very own identity to prove that the word was going to come forth was a healing amongst the people and miracles. And Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever, there cannot cease from amongst us healing tonight. We just pray, oh God, that as we know it's so true that people can just leave a building and suddenly wake up to the fact, I've been healed by the power of God. Lord, I just don't believe that's for out there someplace else. I believe it's for here. We're claiming healing, Lord. At this moment, we believe, my God, that those good things are happening to the people. Even Lord, as a little witness and a little sign of encouragement, O God, that the people are believing your word. Now, Father, be with us as we go. May your grace be with us till Sunday morning, Lord. Come together, thrilled to come together in the house of Almighty God. A joy, Lord, seeking your face. Thank you, Lord, for the people that came in tonight. Some coming a distance, giving up certain things that would have been profitable in the world to do, but giving them up to come to hear the word of God. Bless them, Lord, tonight. In such a way as to absolutely amaze and to astound. Lord, tonight, your blessing be upon them, O God. Upon each one for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. So I imagine you're happy tonight that you came out, and you're happy tonight that the Lord is in our presence. And He's wonderful. You know, the more you look at it, the better it gets. All right, let's sing a little song. Take the name of Jesus with you. You want prayer? Oh, great. Let's Brother Norman wants prayer. Any special thing, or just because you're woozy?
No, just be woozy, yeah.
Okay. Let's believe God that he's healed. Brother Norman's condition is not true epilepsy, though there's a spirit here. What it is, he's got a problem in the
connections of the brain because of scar tissue. Now let's ask the Lord to really get rid of the scar tissue. Heavenly Father, lay hands upon my brother and myself, Lord, I am nothing whatsoever. But you said if two people be agreed upon anything touching your kingdom, in Jesus' name, Lord, we shall have him the scar tissue, Lord, to loose, Lord, and leave his brain, O God, and whatever needs to soften up and be normal. We're praying for it from this moment. Now may he be very lucid.